3-0, entity of 212, complex.
DPS, go. Inco, go. PUS, go. Surgeon, go. Booster, go. Copy that, we have a go from you guys.
This is Talking Sound.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to the Talking Sound podcast, the only podcast on the internet where negative 10 is a number to be desired. What? Coming at you from the throbbing heart of rock and roll that is Austin, Texas, right here in the Austin Music Rooms tonight. In our studio, we have Nelson Kugel. How are you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Doing fantastic. I have been bugging this guy forever to come on the show, and I'm so glad that he has. Nelson holds a special place in my heart and my life as literally the second person that I met in Austin, Texas.
Dang.
Yeah, the first guy was my wife's friend Jacob, who came and picked me up once at the Greyhound station. And another time, you literally came over to the house and just hung out while my wife was at some sort of theater function or something. And we were still dating at the time. And,
wow.
Yeah, she is
crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it was wild, our meeting.
Where were y'all at the apartment chill right now?
We are. We were.
Was that there?
Yeah, yeah. We were at the same place. Absolutely. It was the different place though, where we were in the little one bedroom and we were a little more intimate, so to speak. Now I've got a doghouse, also known as my studio and workshop.
So, that's nothing. Nothing to be ashamed of.
No.
Good doghouse.
You know, it's a little tough sleeping on all the solder chaff on the floor and like all the little pins that come off whenever you clip parts. But I've had to do it. I'm not ashamed to admit it. She can have the bed. It's all right.
I hear you on that.
So tonight, Nelson. Let's talk a little bit. Let's start off. We recently, actually, with the Centers of Attention, your band, did a tracking session. And we're in the midst of mixing that and finding some good compressions and EQs to put on stuff. But how was that for you guys?
Mm. Excuse me. I thought the Centers were still going. It's okay. Going, man. It's going. The holidays was kind of a big break for us.
Yeah.
Had about 3 weeks off and I mean, come back in, and it's a little rusty, no pun intended. That's the lead singer and songwriter for the most of the songs. Actually, all the songs. Anywho, we're back in the game. It's going good, man. We're just knowing that Rusty's going to be leaving next year for Colorado, it's kind of like, well, and that's like what all bands always think of. What are we going to be going for this for how long?
Yeah.
You know? And so it's a really fun project.
It
and
is.
I hope it goes. But Rusty does, I know he's got a lot going on in Colorado.
He does. Yeah. And a lot of opportunities there for him personally. But, I mean, as a sound, y'all have a very interesting, I guess, palette that y'all draw from. Tell us a little bit about that.
I have no idea.
Like, well, I mean, you know, y'all have influences of, I mean, from what I've heard, there's some Dylan in there. There's definitely some Tom Petty action.
Yeah, there's some Tom Petty action. I just never heard anyone describe us before. Everyone usually has always asked me.
Okay.
What, like, and I'm like, bluesy rock, you know? I don't know, like, any of the influences and stuff like that, but.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say some Tom Petty. And yeah.
Well, and, you
just
know.
And G, C, D, if you like those chords.
Hey, you know, I think there's been a few songs that have been popular that have been written around those.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. So you're on the right track with that.
Right.
To say the least. So.
Now, for sure.
As in the Centers of Attention, you actually played bass.
Yes.
Is that your first instrument?
First instrument was piano. Started at the age of 8. And was classically trained in that. And then when I got into middle school, that's when I was introduced to violin. And I played that for 2 weeks. And my professor said, why don't you try bass? And I'm like, cool. Fell in love with it immediately. And then 7th grade, my parents got me electric bass. Started playing jazz. So It was a close first because I literally dropped piano for it. And to this day, I regret dropping piano. But I do not regret anything that I did with the bass because I do love playing the bass for sure.
And you're definitely good at it. That's for certain. And I found it very interesting whenever we were trying to get schedules matched up and everything else to get this episode done, just like the icebreaker episode. The reason you couldn't do it last week was because you were going to take piano lessons up north. And that's fantastic. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you presently?
I am 29.
29. So, see, and that's what I love, is at the age of 29, you have decided to retake a path that you originally started your musical
almost 20 years
path
ago.
With.
Less, yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, how does that feel to kind of come back to that route that offshot into you playing bass and where you are now?
It's awesome, actually. The instructor that I'm getting the lessons from is way different than the instructor that I had before. It's more of real roots and progressions and, like, predominance and dominant fists and stuff like that. So I'm getting into more of a complex structure than I was when I was a kid because of my taste in music as I've matured. And so it's totally different and it's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've played with you myself and we've actually shared a stage at least once that I know of. And, you know, you're very strong on stage. You're very comfortable whenever you're playing. So to know that you're going back to where you started,
right,
is awesome. I love it whenever people go back and revisit that. I've kind of done the same thing over the last year or two, kind of coming back and picking up the bass again.
Nice.
Because that was my first instrument that I learned with. So... yeah, I don't have one in here.
No, you don't.
No, it's at home. It's at home where I actually get to play it. Most of the ones here are for people to demo pedals with.
Yeah. I have two basses now, so it's nice having one there and one at the house.
It is. And, you know, that's something that I recommend all the time, even here on the show and in the articles that I've written, is trying to duplicate what you have.
Right.
That way, if something goes down, you at least have a backup.
For sure.
You know, and especially one of the biggest complaints that I've heard, especially whenever you go out and go to a typical amp repair shop or go to a luthier to give your guitar up for work to be done, sometimes you can be without that for a month.
Oh, yeah.
Easily.
For sure.
Easily. Depending on the person, how popular they are, how good they are,
definitely,
and what their work schedule is.
Definitely.
You know? Yeah, being able to, if you're of means to or thrifty enough to, I actually, for the longest time, people asked me how I accrued all the gear that I got so rapidly. And it was because I had a full-time job that I worked 9 to 5, and then 4 or 5 nights a week, I would go out and run sound at a club.
Nice.
And I would also sell recordings. And all of the money that I made from music went back into music.
Nice.
So, you know, if you go out and make a couple $100 in a night between running sound and selling a couple recordings, you can go out and buy 2 microphones the next day.
Yep, for sure. Know? Yeah.
And you can rapidly accrue all that. You add to that, I know it's an insane concept. You stop smoking.
Yeah.
Especially if you're a pack-a-day smoker. If you're a pack-a-day smoker, at least cut down to like 4 or 5 a day.
Yeah.
And you will notice a large increase. And if you dedicate that money alone to gear, like you can buy some decent used stuff.
A pack a day?
Yeah. I know. I mean, hey, when I smoked, man, I was easily a pack a day, pack and a half.
Wow.
Back in, it was, I smoked, man.
Yeah. Well,
I was the American smoker. Yeah. I was like 20-something years old. Heck, at one point I actually worked for I worked for Winston Cigarettes.
Oh,
I was one of the guys that went around and took pictures of IDs at bars and gave you a little CD case with 4 packs of smokes in it. You know, and hey, we got paid really well. And we also got cigarettes.
Nice.
And like when I ended the job, man, I had like... 8-9 cartons of cigarettes stashed away. Like it was, it was insane, man. It was like a little black market in my closet. It was
nice,
but you know, those are the things that you have to be willing to do. You know, we all have the dream of rock and roll. We all have the dream. Even myself, you know, I went out today and talked to some people about some work with HC Productions, things like that, and that's why I'm in my black duds. But yeah, it's, you know, we all have the dream of doing that. The question is, how do you make that happen?
Right.
And sometimes, yeah, you know, you may have to go out and have a full-time job and literally dedicate every penny that you make with music rolled back into your music, either in gear or recording time or what have you.
Yep.
And so how many projects before the Sinners have you been involved in, Nelson?
Oh, boy. Some of my first live, gigging was jazz band. Well, you know, orchestra, you know, you do the concert rehearsals or something, but jazz band, we actually played coffee shops like, Brook Mays Music or something. Or
okay.
Was that,
yeah,
that one bookstore, yep, or something?
Yeah. Yeah. No. Yeah. It was Brook Mays, and they sold tablature and pianos, things like that.
Yeah. And it's not Brook Mays. It was a coffee shop.
Oh, okay.
That was like kind of like corporate. It was a bookstore coffee shop. Anyways.
Yeah.
Projects. Sorry.
Yeah.
I played in the metal band in high school. It was called Bedlam. I was with them for, I don't know, like a year and a half or something.
Mm-hmm.
I did a little project with my good friend Ferd and Leah. And we were called Up for Debate, and it's kind of very proggy stuff. Did a lot of tapping on the bass and
cool
odd time signatures.
Nice.
Danny Price and the Heist, that was a project for about a year. It was a lot of fun. Good stuff. That's how I met Brian Curley.
All right.
And I can't think of any other things. There was some small jam stuff where jammed at parties and stuff, but it wasn't like
nothing that an equal amount of people decided to put effort
but it's
into.
Like if we recorded that, we would have made some good money probably.
There was some gold there. Speaking of that, it's interesting because just on an aside, that's one of the projects that you personally have going on is you're looking at building a studio at home and having an actual tracking room and having, you know, a control room, everything else. And I'm helping him out with that project. We're going to have fun cutting a hole in the wall and glassing it in and all that kind of awesome stuff.
Definitely.
It's going to be super sweet once it's done. I can't wait to see it. What kind of toys are you looking at? Are you looking more in the digital realm as far as gear goes? Like, digital recording and plugins, or are you looking more at outboard gear?
Start off with, because I'm fresh with all of this, is digital.
Mm-hmm.
With what you were just talking about. And the reason that's because I was having small studio at my house where I was just doing personal recording. I was using Cubase, very familiar with it, and so I was just going to stay with that. But I want to get like a good, nice little what was that? The Digidesign M001?
Yep, yep.
Or the 7? Is it the 001? The one that's gray?
Yeah, the Digi01.
Yeah. Want to get one of those, probably.
Okay.
And I know they're all about Cubase. Or, not Cubase.
Pro Tools.
Pro Tools, yes.
Pro Tools.
Yeah. But I'm sure you can still run it.
Yeah. I mean, they just about any interface will recognize just about anything. I actually am my flute player, Wes. Is the one that turned me onto it. I do a lot of work in Reaper, and it's mainly because it's a freeware. It only costs like $60-something for the license. It's updated regularly.
Nice.
There are a lot of schools that are using it because it is so cheap. You know, whenever you're looking at programs like Pro Tools, Cubase, even the student versions are in the hundreds of dollars. So,
which one is this?
It's called Reaper.
Reaper.
Yeah, and it's great. It recognizes any interface. It recognizes any control surface just about, you know. I mean, just it has its limitations, just like any version of Cubase or Pro Tools, where if you're using an older interface, you're going to have some problems with all the modern updates with it recognizing, you know?
Yeah.
But if you're using something that you go out and buy off the shelf, you know, a Mackie controller, a PreSonus fader port, something like that, connects right up. You're controlling the track, you're recording everything else. Even the Mackie Onyx mixer that I have here in studio, that's FireWire, goes straight into Reaper and all 16 tracks straight up. It's great. That's what we use to record your tracks here.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's the exact same rig.
Oh.
As a matter of fact.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I did
do recordings.
That's funny. I did pick up a it's a Korg.
Mm-hmm.
Have you seen that? And it's a 16 track. And it's got like a small screen display and it's touch screen on it. It's not like a colored screen.
Sure.
And it's great.
I don't know if you've seen it. Just a little multi-track recorder.
Yeah, but it's 16 track with four. It's really nice. It's got a CD burner built into it.
Oh, wow. Yeah. And those can be fun. You know, I actually still have my old Fostex. In my home studio, as you know, mm-hmm. I still record on my old Tascam 424K.
Yeah.
Like, it is my beast. It is my hoss. It is straight four-track cassette. I have a source of mine in Houston who's a very good friend, Wavy Dave, who has a whole bunch of analog cassettes that are like studio master quality, you know, like what they would run your stuff off for duplication on. And
right.
He has just thousands of them. And every once in a while, he'll sell, you know, give me a pallet or sell me a pallet for $20 or something. It's like, here's 100 cassette tapes, you know, and on four track speed. I can get like 20 minutes of recording out of each tape. So it's great. You know, you can get all your analog sound in the front end and then mix it down digitally is what I do. So it's a process, but to me, it's about not trying to replicate the analog feel and not trying to recover an analog feel. One of the things I do with HC Productions is digital to analog remastering, where I take people's digital mixes that they've done and put them through analog tube amps, you know, tube pre's, things like that, put them out to tape and then back to digital. So they warm up, they have a whole lot more presence and warmth to them and sound more analog than digital. But, you know, that's work on the back end. That's typically what you're trying to avoid.
Yeah.
How many other times have you been in the studio? How many times have you recorded, like?
In the studio?
Yeah.
Oh, how many times have I recorded?
Because, I mean, I know you've done some experimenting and things like that with your own music.
Yeah.
We've even done some stuff together that was more than adventurous.
Oh, do you mean like going to a studio?
Yeah.
Or like recording at?
Recording at a studio. Recording or going at a studio. To a studio, yeah.
I did, gosh darn it, I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I think it's Chris Burns.
Okay.
And I got probably butchered his name, but my roommate, Brian, was doing some recording there because he knew the guy, and mm-hmm. I went out to his studio. It's pretty cool. Got to see some, you know, behind the scenes stuff, like how it's done. Over at my parents' place on their property, they have like a little house built, and they rent it out to Kevin. Kevin.
It's Kevin,
and he's got a studio there, full Mackie studio. It's rad.
Oh wow!
And he's recorded. Have you heard of Nasty Nathan?
Yeah.
His first album was recorded out there, and the CD says recorded at the Kugel Ranch.
Oh, wow.
That's pretty fun. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, and, you know, where do you guys have a show coming up or anything with the,
yes.
With the group?
We do.
Where is it?
We got a show coming up at Sam's Town Point.
Sam's
Town Point.
It's actually one of the first places that I found in Austin.
Really?
Yes. I responded to a Craigslist ad, and I've seen the praises of Craigslist on this program all the time. It's great. It's a fantastic resource for freelancing. And I found someone that was doing a video shoot of like this band that was coming back to Austin after having been out on the road throughout the Southeast and Southwest. They basically did a South U.S. tour, coast to coast, and then came back. And it was interesting. It was a great show. I got to meet a local guy, Ramsey Midwood, who is amazingly phenomenal. I'd love to reconnect with him and bring him on the show. And that was the first time I ever found Sam's Town Point.
Nice.
And, yeah, I fell in fast love with the place. It is a great, great place. And a true little hole in the wall where you can go see some great, great music.
Mm-hmm.
Some really good music.
For sure.
For nothing.
Yeah.
For nothing. These people just, they like playing.
Yeah.
You know? And it's great. It's always a super fun time. When is the show?
The show is on the 31st.
The 31st?
The 31st of January. Of this month.
That's okay, correct. Which is that a Saturday?
I have no idea.
I'm not gonna pull out my Imperial Probe droid.
It is a Saturday. It's a Saturday. Yeah, we have the Insiders opening for us.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And then we, I think they start at 7, and then we go on at 10:30.
Okay.
Closing it out. Maybe they go on at 8. Get there at 7, either way.
Well, yeah, place. I mean, absolutely. You should always get there early, get familiar with the place. They've got some pool tables there. They've got a great patio outside.
For and those three of you, dartboards.
They got three dartboards for those of us who enjoy darts. And they're real dartboards.
Yeah.
They're not the plastic.
No, they are.
Are they plastic?
Yeah,
tip?
But it's the one that it's. But you can use standard tips on it.
Oh, okay.
But it's the one that's got all the numbers built, like the it's an arcade style. So it keeps tabs working. Because we have leagues there. That's what I loved about the place. Because when I first started going there, I saw the dartboards and there was just people going at it. And it's like, man, that looks fun, and they were really good.
Yeah.
And so I joined the dart league, and I just finished it. This last six.
How'd you come out in it, by the way? Because that was one of the conflicts that we had. Not that I don't love a dart league. Good Lord, back in my day, I wrecked shop in a dart league. I love playing darts. As a matter of fact, I have a dartboard right over there on the door with an actual permanently marked whiteboard for cricket. That is one of the things that we actually do on this show with guests and techs in the off time and in between recordings.
I'll have to come back
and play around. Oh, we'll play around whenever we're done here, my
friend.
Good. Absolutely. I will try to take some mercy on you because I like it. I like it, and I love this jacket.
Thank you.
I wish they made it in size mutant.
Yeah.
They don't. Where'd you get that jacket, by the way?
I got this jacket about 7 years ago. At a thrift shop in Roszanki.
All right.
You know where Roszanki is?
I do not. Where is Roszanki?
It's about...
I feel like a dirty limerick is about to happen.
It's about a two-hour drive east from here.
Okay.
Yeah. And,
wow.
Got it for a buck.
Wow.
Love it.
Yeah, that is like...
Leisure suit.
Well, I mean... It looks like it straight up belongs on like a UT band member from 1968 or something.
That's what I like about it. It's pretty rad.
like you're supposed to have the ruffled collar right here with the huge orange bow tie and like some stupid cowboy hat.
That's like plastic
with your
nylon,
with your polypropylene boots marching around with an 80-pound tuba slung over your shoulder.
Oh man, right?
Anyway. Funny. That's how we roll here on the show. Mad, mad imagination. So
mad.
One more time, give us a plug for your show that's coming up.
The plug for the show, this month on the 31st, which is a Saturday, the Outsiders are opening up at 7, and we go on at 10:30. Make it out, cool place, darts, nice pool tables, fun joint, good beer selection.
Yep, could be better.
Sam's Town Point,
right here in Austin, Texas.
You can also bring your own alcohol.
That's right.
Whiskey.
You can bring your own liquor.
That's what I'm saying.
They have beer, wine. They have beer, wine, and setups, so you can bring your own bottle.
Yeah.
Once again, everybody, Nelson Kugel, bassist. Nelson's over here wrecking shop with the Topo Chico, everybody. He's all about it. Maybe we'll pick them up. Who knows? Nelson, thank you so much, my friend.
Thank you all for having me. Appreciate it.
Anytime that you can come by, please, let's chat. And everybody, please, don't forget, stop on by and visit us online, www.talkingsoundshow.com. There you can get all of the tech articles. You can get the audio feed, the video feed. We have an all-new episodes page where it's a nice listing of all the episodes with a description. It takes you straight to the video and audio of each one on a page by itself. You can share those on Facebook. If you go to Facebook, we are Facebook.com/Talking Sound Show. We're also on Twitter at Talking Sound. Please, please don't forget to go to the website and visit the donate page. On the donate page is where we have the campaigns going on for the upcoming release of the Talking Sound app, where everything can be right there on your mobile device.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. It's really cool. We've got it on 5 test devices right now, and it is keeping up. It's going. It's great. It's fantastic. We've also got campaigns going on for studio space fees, for everything that it costs, all the registration fees and everything for the internet and memberships to get this out to everybody so that it can be free. The memberships do not cost anything. So please stop on by, visit our Patreon page. That's patreon.com/talkingsound. Become a patron of the Talking Sound Show. You can also find our free downloads on soundcloud.com/talkingsound, as well as spreaker.com/talkingsoundpodcast. Once again, everybody, I am Chris Jordan. Our guest has been Nelson Kugel of the Centers of Attention here in Austin. And until next time, keep reaching for 11, everybody. We'll see you soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
Sound.